Well, let's pray. Father, I thank you that you've brought us here tonight, Lord God. I thank you that you've created us all for such a time as this. And Father, I just give you praise right now for what you're going to do tonight. Lord, I thank you for the word that you've given me. And I just pray that you'd give ears to hear tonight. Father, that every word that comes from my mouth would be straight and direct from your Holy Spirit. And we just thank you in advance. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I'm going to talk about the Holy Spirit tonight. And I wasn't going to talk about the Holy Spirit. I was going to talk about, like, I was going to give, like, one of those rah-rah messages, like, purpose-driven life, like, we're all here for a destiny. And because I'm passionate about that. But God redirected me about a week ago and said, no, I want you to talk about my Holy Spirit. And so I am giving you this message tonight as it was given to me in obedience to him. Because I believe we are in a time where the Holy Spirit is needed more than ever. And I believe that this country, this city, this state, this country is on like the cusp of a serious and real revival. I believe that this country is going to see it before I'm dead. It's going to happen in Jesus' name. Do you believe that? Do you want that? Is that why you're here? I assume it's your Wednesday nighters. So you're like, you're all inners, okay? That's what I'm going to assume. So I'm going to preach to you like on 10. And if you're not at 10, you just dial it down to a 2 if that's where you are. Or you dial it down to a 3, whatever you want. But I'm not going to hold anything back because God told me to tell you this. And if you really believe in the Holy Spirit, then you believe what I just said. That this is not me. I'm not here to entertain you this evening. That is not my purpose. I do that. I did that for a living, and I love to entertain people. That's not the purpose tonight. I'm not here so that I can preach a good sermon, and then out there you can go, hey, good job, attaboy. That's not the purpose of tonight. Tonight, I want to give you a word that will position your heart so that you can receive from the Holy Spirit. Because I believe tonight God is going to touch some of you like he never has. But you have to yield yourself to him, and you have to be willing, and you have to be ready. So I'm going to give you a word tonight that it's my prayer, it's my hope that it makes you ready so that in about 25 minutes, you meet God in a real way. Amen. Are you ready?
Ready?
Okay. So the Holy Spirit, the promise, the person, the power of the Holy Spirit. I've spent the last year of my life just about back in bars and clubs, going around and playing music, raising funds for the Hope Home. And by God's grace, we've raised about $150,000 in the last year. And it's doing amazing things. So all of you that have given to that and that are giving tonight to that, bless you. You have no idea the changes that you're making. You're affecting nations with every penny that you give. But every time I go in these places and I play, I never hold back from preaching the gospel. They give me a microphone. They give me a stage. I can't help what's inside of me is going to come out. And so Jesus comes out. And it never fails that at the end of the night, people come to me and they say, hey, man, how do you do that? Like, I want that. I've literally had people say, I want what you have. And you know what I get to tell them? I have a relationship with the living God through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And I get to know him more and more every day. And so I'm going to spend 20 minutes talking about the Holy Spirit. But you know what? It could take you 20 years. You could speak a sermon series that would last 20 years. Why? Because you get to know him more every day. He's a person. He's not a thing. He's not an it. I know my wife. I've been with my wife a long time, since she was 15 and I was 17. I still get to know her more every day, but I know her voice now, right? Some of you, you're married, and if you walked into this, your wife walked into this room, my wife could walk in here and say, babe, and there could be 50 people talking, and I would hear that, and I'd be like, that's my wife. Do you know what I'm talking about? Well, the Holy Spirit should be that way to you. When he says go, you know. That's what I believe. Because that's what the Bible says. Jesus said, my sheep will know my voice, right? So who was the Holy Spirit to Jesus? Well, Jesus was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. He was conceived by the Spirit. He was empowered by the Spirit at the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit, and he only spoke what he heard the Spirit speaking. In John 5:19, he said, the Son can do nothing by himself. In John 14:10, he said, "Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words I speak are not my own, but my Father who lives in me does the work through me." He says, the Father who lives in me, not the Father who is in heaven, the Father who lives in me. Well, I believe we could say that that is the Holy Spirit because he was conceived by the Holy Spirit. My Father is Benny Weathers. Benny Weathers is in me. So the Holy Spirit told him what to say. In Luke 4:14, it says he was empowered by the Holy Spirit. When after he was baptized in the River Jordan, he goes out 40 days, he's fasting, he's, you know, getting a punching match with the devil, and then he gets back and it says, then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. Praise God. Then miracles started happening. That's what happened. He was filled with the Holy Spirit, miracles started happening. Everything he did, everything he touched, everything he spoke was a miracle. He promised that he would send a helper. In John 14:15, this is really where I want to start. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate. I like the word helper. Who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. The world cannot receive him because the world isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. No, I will not abandon you as orphans. I will come to you. He says, I'll send him. But then he says, I will come to you. The word another, and he will give you another advocate or another helper. That word another is the Greek word allos. I mean, I got serious about this. I looked up Greek words, okay? The Greek word, do I look like a Greek scholar? No, man, I'm a hillbilly, okay? The Greek word allos means another of the same kind. That means if I give you an apple, you eat the apple, and I say, do you want another piece of fruit? And you say yes, and I give you an orange, that is not another of the same kind, although it is a piece of fruit. But if I give him an apple after he eats an apple, that is another of the same kind. You understand what I'm saying? So another of the same kind, when Jesus says, I'm going to give you another one, he says, I'm giving you me. And I'm going to be in you, and I'm going to go everywhere with you and do everything for you. And then in 16:7, he says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. These guys must have been freaking out. You are the Son of God. What do you mean you're going away? And he says, no. It's better for you that I go away. Because if Peter wants to talk to me, then John's got to wait. Because I'm only one man. But I'm coming back. And when I come back in the form of the Holy Spirit, I'll be everywhere, all the time, in all of you. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. That's the promise, church. That he's here in this place, that he sent his Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 2, we're going to talk about that. So after he sends the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2, and I'm going to go into that a little bit more, but who was he to the early church? You know, if we heard people say today what the apostle said in the book of Acts, we would think they were nuts. We'd think they were crazy. Okay? I love the book of Acts. It's probably my favorite book in the Bible because it's wild. It's like an adventure, you know? But it's a real adventure that we get to experience if we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. There are portions of the body of Christ today that do not believe anything in that book. My brother down here, Nick, he's been playing bass at youth camps, or for the at the beginning of the summer, he's been all over the country playing youth camps. And the particular denomination that's hosting those youth camps, he sent me a text the other night, in quotations. A man got on stage in front of 1,000 kids and said, the book of Acts is a history book. These things don't happen anymore. That is a lie from the pit of hell. Do you hear what I'm saying to you? It is a lie. Because if the devil can make you think that that book is irrelevant to you today, he can strip you of the same power that those men and women walked in. They were normal people. For it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Meaning he was such a part of their life. I just imagine them sitting around like a boardroom table and they're like, I don't know, what do you think, Holy Ghost? And he's like, well, I mean, I gave you the idea anyway. right? Think about it. It seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. Paul, after his conversion, and I'm going to talk about that moment too, he says, and now, in Acts 20, verse 22, and now I'm bound by the Spirit to go to Jerusalem. I don't know what awaits me, except that the Holy Spirit tells me in the city after city that jail and suffering lie ahead. What if somebody said that to you? Hey, brother, God's called me to Africa. I don't know, Holy Spirit told me that they're going to whoop me when I get over there. You'd be like, brother, don't go. Dude, don't do it. Don't go. That's just stupid. God don't want you to get whooped. No, Holy Spirit told me. I don't know what's waiting on me, but it's bad. Amen. You'd think they were crazy, but they had something that's missing from the church today, and that is power. They had power. They might not have had riches. They might not have had gold and silver and all those things. They had power, and they walked in power. They were normal, everyday people. In Acts chapter 1, the apostles are hiding. They are hiding in an upper room. Jesus told them, after he walked the earth with them for 3 years, now you'd think that these guys would be ready to go. They walked the earth with the Son of God for 3 years, and he said, go to Jerusalem and wait, because you're not ready yet. That's what he's saying. You're not ready yet, because I haven't sent the Holy Spirit yet. You need him. You're not going to be able to get this done without him. Go there and wait. Because you know what? What if they would have went out before he would have came? I mean, they would have probably got whooped. But he comes. In Acts chapter 2, he comes. And Peter, the same Peter that was hiding, in Acts chapter 2, walks outside, blows open the door, starts preaching the gospel. And 3,000 people joined the church in that day. What did he say? Well, you can read it in Acts chapter 2. I'm not going to read it because I don't want to take the time to read. But you need to read it. You need to read Acts chapter 2. They were all gathered together in one place with one accord. And then guess what? A rushing mighty wind whipped through that house. And tongues of fire fell on those men and women. And God moved big time. And they all spoke in new tongues. And I'm going to talk about some of that tonight too. Yeah, people are going to listen to this message. And they're going to go, Josh Weathers is one of those kind of Christians? And I'm going to say, yeah. Yeah. You know why? Because those kind of Christians bear fruit. That's why. I'm not going to backslide. I'm dead. There's nothing to backslide to. How can I do that? I know this. I've lived this. I've experienced this. You can't out-doctrine my experience. I've seen miracles with my eyes. I've seen people fall under the power of God. Listen, when the power of God, the living God, connects with you, something happens. You should expect something to happen. If it's just a little internal switch that gets clicked, that's not God. I'm sorry. Because in the Bible, that's not what it says happens. I'm not going to go through all of them, but let's just look at Acts chapter 8. We're going to look at the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Listen, I am not a Spirit-filled believer because I belong to a denomination that believes in it. I am not a Spirit-filled believer because I listened to some guy's teaching and I just believe what he said. I'm a Spirit-filled believer because I read the Bible. Yeah, amen. And because the people in the Bible that were filled with the Holy Spirit changed the world. They changed the world. Do you want to change the world? Do you want to be used of God? You could be a secretary, an accountant, a CPA, a doctor, a musician. You could be, and God will use you to change the world. You can be a housewife. You can be a soccer mom. God will use you and your Suburban to change the world. He'll do it because he did it to these people, and they weren't anything special. But you know what they did? They just believed. They yielded themselves to him. And they just believed. They stepped back and said, whatever you want, God, whatever you want to do. Acts chapter 8, verses 14 through 19. Philip He's filled with the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 2. I'm sure he was one of the 120 that were there. He goes out to Samaria to preach the gospel. He's preaching the gospel. People are getting saved. Miracle signs, wonders, things are happening. This sorcerer dude, who's like this magician that everybody thought was this amazing man of God, right? They thought he was this amazing man of God because he could perform miracles and all these things. He's watching this stuff happen. Well, he decides he believes too. I believe, right? So the apostles back in Jerusalem, we'll just read it. Chapter 8, verse 14. When the apostles in Jerusalem heard that the people of Samaria had accepted God's message, they sent Peter and John there. As soon as they arrived, they prayed for these new believers to receive the Holy Spirit. That's the only reason they went. These people were already Christians. They were already believers. Why did they go? To make sure that they'd receive the Holy Spirit. Why? So that they would have power. So that they could help them change the world. No other reason. They didn't come down there to check their theology, make sure they got everything right. No, they were believers. That's all I needed to know. They're believers. We're going to go make sure they got the Holy Spirit. Verse 16. The Holy Spirit had not yet come upon any of them, for they had only been baptized in the name of a lot of people in the body of Christ, especially in the Western world. You don't see this as much in Africa and India. A lot of people believe that a moment of salvation, when you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Or when you're baptized in water, you're filled with the Holy Spirit. Is that what that says? No. It says that they believed, and then Peter and John came and laid hands on them, and they received the Holy Spirit. If you want to argue with the Bible, argue with the Bible. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says. You shouldn't be concerned with my opinion. I'm not concerned with yours. I'm concerned with what the Bible says. I told you I wasn't going to hold nothing back. I didn't even plan on saying none of that. You know that's the Holy Ghost. Now, when Simon saw the Spirit was given, everybody say, Simon saw. Simon saw. Say, Simon saw. When Simon saw that the Spirit was given, when the apostles laid their hands on the people, he exclaimed, so that when I lay my hands on people, they'll receive the Holy Spirit. What did Simon see? What did he see? How do you see power? There is something that manifests. Power is an action, right? If I stand in front of a punching bag and I look at it real hard, can you see how powerful I am? No, you cannot. But if I read back and suck that thing, you can. You see power, right? I don't know what he saw. And the Bible doesn't say what he saw, but I've seen that power. I've seen that power. Acts chapter 9. You should expect something to happen tonight. You should be expecting. You shouldn't be afraid. I just say right now, spirit of fear has to go in the name of Jesus. That the spirit of religion has to go right now in the name of Jesus. Any of you that walked in here with doctrine that says this stuff is a lie, I'm reading it from the Bible. Where else do you want truth to come from? People will lie to you. People will tell you things that you think you can believe. This is from the Bible. Acts chapter 9, the Apostle Paul, he just met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He just met Jesus. Amen. Jesus appears to him in a great light. And many people say that that was the moment that Paul was saved. That was his salvation moment. He called Jesus Lord. When you call Jesus Lord, that means you're a Christian. That's what that means. That's right. But Jesus told him, go and wait. So he did. And then Jesus appeared to another man, Ananias, and he said, you go and you pray for him. And we're going to read that. Acts chapter 9, verse 17. So Ananias went and found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on the road has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. He just saw Jesus. He just met the man himself. Why would Jesus send him to be filled with the Holy Spirit? To be filled with power to change the world. That's why? Why would he do it? He could have just said, hey, you saw me, now go tell everybody. That's not what he did. He said, go and wait. And then he sends somebody to go lay hands on him so that he'd be filled with the Holy Spirit. All right, last one. Got done quick. Acts chapter 19, verses 1 through 5. The Apostle Paul is making his way to Ephesus. While Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Then what baptism did you experience? He asked. And they replied, the baptism of John. And Paul said, John's baptism called for repentance from sin, but John himself told the people to believe in the one who would come later, meaning Jesus. And as soon as they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then when Paul laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them. They spoke in other tongues and prophesied. They were about 12 men in all. They were already Christians. That's what I see when I read this piece of scripture. How many people do we meet that are believers, that are Christians? Some of you in this room, you're already Christians. You're already believers. You prayed the prayer. You're reading your Bible. You're walking it out. You're doing a good job. But there's still something else. There has to be some of you in here, or God wouldn't have told me to tell you this. That's what I believe. And he wants you to be filled with power from on high so that you can help him change the world. He wants to use you. He doesn't need you. He's God. He can do whatever he wants. But he wants to use you. Why would Paul ask these men that were believers? They were already Jesus dudes, right? They were already there. They had the Christians, they had the, you know, the Christian fish sticker on the back of their car. They were already Christians. Why did he ask them? Did you receive the Holy Spirit? It's power. That's all I can tell you. It's because when the Holy Spirit came upon people, when he does come upon people, like he came upon me, a woman put her hands on me and prayed that I'd receive the Holy Spirit because I wanted to. Because he says he'll give to those who ask. If you ask for bread, he will not give you stone. He will give you what you ask for. And I said, I want that power. That's what I want. I want to be able to speak boldly. A lot of people today believe that the Holy Spirit is like courage or something. Like I believe in Jesus, and then the Holy Spirit gives me courage to go and tell my friends. It's more than courage. Sometimes courage, it doesn't, sometimes, like if I get in a sword fight, like I might run in there like this. It took me courage just to get that far. But boldness doesn't look like courage. Boldness looks like this. That's what he's looking for. That's what happened to Peter. The man was scared. Holy Spirit comes, walks outside. 3,000 people join the church. It says in Acts chapter 9, after Paul is filled with the Holy Spirit, it says that he spoke boldly. That only comes from the Holy Spirit. When Pastor Mark gets up here and speaks, it's from the Holy Spirit. I love this man. I love this man, but he's a quiet guy. He's introverted. He'll tell you that. But when he stands on that stage, what happens? It ain't him anymore. It's the Holy Spirit. Some of you tonight, it's time for you. That you make your way to the front so that somebody can lay hands on you. You can receive the Holy Spirit. You know what? You might speak in tongues. And let anybody tell you, you know what? There are full denominations now that believe it's okay for a man to become a woman, but speaking in tongues is of the devil. That is ridiculous. I fervently served the devil for most of my adult life. I didn't worship the devil, but I did anything that I wanted to do. I lived a selfish, crazy rock and roll lifestyle, and I never once, not one time, ever had the inclination to speak in tongues. Yeah, Anybody tells you speaking in tongues of the devil, they just don't know what they're talking about. And you know what? We need to pray for those people. We need to pray for these denominations. Listen, God is deteriorating denominational boundaries. It is happening. The Holy Spirit, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen. And if you want to be part of the revival that's coming, you need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because the things that you say, they will not carry weight unless you do, unless you are. Because it'll be you talking. It won't be him. And that's what they want. They don't want to hear from you and your head and how much you know about the Bible. Nobody cares. They want to hear the Holy Ghost. They don't even know they want to hear the Holy Ghost, but that's what they want because he draws people unto himself. And if he's in you, he will draw people to you. You hearing what I'm saying? This is something we should long for. The Bible says, Paul says to be filled, it's every day. It's every day. Every day I get in my closet and I thank the Holy Spirit for filling me up today so that I can go do what you want me to do today. I will pray for a lady at the grocery store. I will pray for a dude at the gas station. I don't care. If the Holy Spirit says go, I'll go. The Holy Spirit will tell you somebody's name. He did it. I was at a ministry event and I'm closing. I was at a ministry event in Austin a couple of weeks ago. And the night before the event, I was praying. And we were all fasting, we were all praying. And I was praying, God, I want to be more like Jesus. Lord, make me like Jesus. Use me in any way you want to use me. I just want to be like Jesus. And he told me, Whitney. This is what I hear ringing in my spirit, Whitney. Just a name, Whitney. And then he said, a thumb. And I thought, that is so weird. But then I thought, well, God used donkeys to speak to people, so that's really not that weird. God made a prophet walk around naked for 3 years. That's really not that weird. I hear the voice of the Spirit, and the voice of the Spirit does not question the nature of God. It just goes along with it. And so that's what I did. The next day, we're at the ministry event. We're leading worship. This time of ministry starts happening, and I got the microphone. And the Lord said, no, not yet. And I said, okay. Okay, Lord, whenever you're ready, whenever you want me to say Whitney. I got the microphone again. Not yet. Okay, Lord, I'm doing my thing over here. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And he said, okay, now. And I said, who is Whitney? And this woman stands up. And I said, Whitney, I don't know why God told me your name, but I believe it's just because he wants you to know that he loves you. He hasn't forgotten you. He knows your name and he knows who you are. She was the only Whitney in the room. Now, during that time of ministry, the lady that was speaking was asking people who needed healing to stand up. She said, if you need healing in your body in any way, you stand up. And people were standing up all over the room, and she was praying for people, and things were happening. But then I called out Whitney. Whitney stands up. Then I called out the thumb thing, and I hear this lady go, ah! She just hollers in the back of the room. And she told me later on, the thumb lady told me later on the day, she said, I believe God for miracles. I believe God for everything. She said, I have a whole list of things that I've written down that I pray about every day that I'm believing God for. And she said, my thumb has been bothering me for 5 years and I've... And then Whitney came to me and she said, with tears in her eyes, I mean, she was still emotional the next day. And I said, what's going on, Whitney? What's up with you? And she said, you know, I have these issues, and they're health issues, and I've never really classified them as diseases just because I've dealt with them for so long. And when that lady was asking me to stand up, she was asking people to stand up. I didn't want to stand up. I've never been to anything like this. I never heard anything like that. And so I'm just praying by myself, and I'm like, I really should stand up. I really should stand up. No, I'm not going to stand up. And then she said, I said to God, you're the God of the universe. If you want to heal me, I don't have to stand up. And she said, as soon as I said that, you called my name. And I stood up. That's how God works. He knew exactly when. He knows the future better than you know your past. And he's ready. He's moving in this room. He's moving in this room. Do you feel it? He's ready. I'm going to hand it over to Pastor Mark. And I just believe that tonight is the night for some of you. God messed me up, man. I was I was a mess. I was a rock and roller. This was never going to be my life. And then this woman, because I just believed, I said, I believe it. I believe everything that's in there. I'm not going to doubt one inkling of it. If I do that, it makes all of it worth nothing. And so I just believed, and I yielded myself to the Holy Spirit. And in that room, it was a ministry event in Seattle, Washington. This woman named Christine Baker, she said, do you want to receive the Holy Spirit? And I said, yes, I do. And she said, put your hands up. I put my hands up. She put her hands on me, and I was on the floor. And I'm not, it wasn't a courtesy fall. The room thought. And I didn't get off that floor for a couple of minutes. And when I got up, I spoke in tongues. And I was like, what is going on? Let me tell you something. It's real. It is real. Some of you know it's real. But some of you haven't had a touch from the Holy Spirit in a long time. Maybe it happened 20 years ago at some ministry event or, you know, at youth camp. Those kids right now at youth camp, this is what they're hearing. Their world is getting rocked. I love it when they go to camp because worship the next Sunday is fire, man. Because those kids right here, they are so on fire. It's awesome. So, thank you, Jesus.